Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good, isn't he?
Yes.
The Lord is faithful.
Yes.
His wisdom is far greater than ours. There we go. Amen.
Amen.
It's you they need to hear. Amen. Lord, we just come before you now in... We give thanksgiving to you. We thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name. Lord, I thank you for the saints that have gathered together here. And Lord, we pray for those who have not been able to gather this day, that your touch would also be upon each of them. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit the word to you. We commit the hearing of the word to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the hearer be blessed this day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'd like to talk about the body of Christ today. And I want to read a little bit from the Word of God. Because the Word is the basis of what we believe. Amen. There is no truth in my own reasoning and my understanding. If it is not based on the Word of God. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn to the 15th chapter of John. And maybe Brother Lito is going to read in Cebuano.
Brother Lito, magbasa nini.
Amen. It says here, I'll start in the first verse. It says, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. We'll just do verse at a time. Now, do you have a fruit here in the Philippines that grows on the vine? What is your fruit that grows on the vine?
Passion
fruit, is that what you're saying? Is that another one? Well, the vine is much like a tree. Okay, and what the Lord is saying is that He is the true vine. If you want to say a tree, the Lord is the true main part of the tree.
The trunk.
Okay, now, he's making a comparison to where do we fit in. We're talking about a tree. You can see trees around here. And do the branches belong to the tree? Are they part of the tree? You can see these trees. Are these branches also part of the tree?
Yes.
they are part of the tree as long as they remain attached to the tree. If you take and break one of these branches off, it might serve you some purpose for a little while, but it is no longer part of that tree. So let's go to the next verse. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So you have a fruit tree, or you have a vine, and you find a certain branch begins to show that it's dying. Now, I have some apple trees in my yard, and every year I have to go out and I have to prune them. Because if I don't, some of the branches, all they want to do is just grow. They don't want to produce any fruit. They just want to go higher and higher. And what that does is it takes away the energy and the life for the part of the tree that is bearing fruit. So there's two kinds of branches that I cut off. The one is, if it's dead, I cut it off. The second is, if it's not going to bear fruit, I cut it off. And that allows the sunshine to come to the branches that are going to bear fruit. And the nutrients that come from the earth up through the roots, then they can go to the branches that are bringing fruit. So we have a major branch now that has small branches, but these small branches are not bearing fruit, so we also cut them back. So sometimes the branch gets all kind of independent ideas of its own. It wants to do this, it wants to do that. But it doesn't want to do what me, the master, wants it to do. And so we cut it off. Now Jesus is talking about his dealing with the body of Christ. So the first thing he says here, first of all, is fruit. And secondly, he says he wants it to bear more fruit. Do you believe the Lord is satisfied with how much fruit I have? And by the way, what do I mean by bearing fruit? How can I bear spiritual fruit?
Unsa man ato nga, unsa man ang mga bunga
You know, some people believe that bearing fruit is doing works. Well, if I go out in the streets, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness, and I'm passing out information, and wouldn't you like to become, you know, there are Christians who believe that that is bearing fruit. That they go out and talk to people. And if they can get somebody to pray the sinner's prayer, that is really bearing good fruit. But what does the Bible say is fruit? The Bible tells what this fruit is.
Ang Biblia mismo nagasulti, nagatug-an kung unsa kining giilang bunga.
Now the fruit of the Spirit is
ang buti pasabot ini nagabayo na gayon nga ang bunga nga unang gustong mag-inal sa Dios kining bunga sa Espiritu.
Love,
ang bunga,
joy,
alipay,
peace,
adunay kalinaw,
long suffering, gentleness, goodness,
faith,
meekness, and temperance. That's nine, isn't it? So let's think about that fruit. How many of you have enough love? You're just so full of love. You're just like God. I mean, people come and do bad things to you. You just can't help but love them. How many of you have enough love? I don't have enough. I have some of my love, but I don't have enough of God's kind of love. When a brother does something to me that's not nice, when he becomes very difficult, I have a hard time loving him. And I have to say, Lord, guard my heart. I know that you love this fellow. Show me your attitude toward him. Well, we could go through the whole nine of them, but that isn't the purpose today. Maybe I could talk about long suffering. How many of you would like more long suffering? I heard an amen, but did you really know what that meant? Long suffering means to suffer for a long time. How many of you enjoy long suffering? Well, if you're like me, you say, God, hasn't this gone on long enough? I'm ready for it to stop. I was in my late 30s, And I was suffering very badly. My life was not good. My circumstances was not good. My love of God was good. My faithfulness to God was good. But I was in very difficult circumstances and I was suffering. So I read this verse about the long, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. And I had a little prayer and I said to the Lord one day, I said, okay, I'm ready for love, I'm ready for temperance and meekness and peace. I'm ready for all those, you know, those good ones. But can I postpone the long-suffering part until some other time when I feel more like it? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. And he said, no, son. You need to be kept in balance. You need to have equal of all the fruit. So if you're going to be part of the body of Christ, it says that he is going to prune you so that you will bear much fruit. No, more fruit, more than you think that you want to bear. In other words, God isn't going to let you stop where you are. You have to keep growing more. So when we get down, verse 3 then, it says, Brother Lido, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken to you? Now, what is the means, one of the means that God uses to prune us, to clean us, is the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, it comes by the Spirit of God, which is sharp like a two-edged sword, and it pierces into our soul and divides and is a discerner between the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is going to clean you up because it is going to go right into the core of your being, and it's going to convict you of the true motives inside of you. Now, this is part of the pruning process. Okay, and then he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me.
Sama
life unless it stays in the tree.
Ang sana magpabilin lamang siya ng buhi kung siya magpabilin diya sa punuan.
Let's talk about my body. I have members of my body. Jesus Christ has members of his body. You are members. I might be this little member here. Little finger. But a very important member.
Yes.
If this finger isn't there, I can do some things, but I don't do them as well. If this one is missing, I have a difficulty picking things up. So every member has a place.
Right.
Now, let's say that this member decides it doesn't want to be part of the body anymore. It's offended with the body. And it wants to be independent. So this member says, goodbye to the body, I'm going out on my own. I'm going to make my own body. So this member goes out here. Is it part of the body now?
No.
Does it belong to the body?
Yes.
It belongs there, but it's not part of the body. And if it isn't quickly put back onto the body, it's going to die.
Amen.
So the same thing is, many Christians say, I'm part of the body of Christ. Over the course of many years of my life, and they're getting more many as the days go by, but I have encountered and worked with quite a number of people. I remember one time working, we did carpentry work for a while. Working with a man that said he was part of the body of Christ. He said he was born again. He said he had a wife that was, he said she was born again. He had some nice little children, about brother, sister, Lito and Daisy's age, the children about that age. So he was a fairly young man. But he would never join himself into fellowship with any group. He had some kind of offense with everybody that he had ever encountered. I invited him to come to our fellowship. He wouldn't do it. And if he did, he found some offense that he couldn't be a part of it. And I'm trying to think how it happened. I told him one day, I said, how can you say that you are in fellowship in the body of Christ and you never come anywhere to any group that has any claim to be the body of Christ? I'm not saying they're all part of the body of Christ, by the way. He said, oh, I fellowship with the body of Christ. I said, how is that? He said, well, when I go to the hardware store, I meet somebody and I say, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian too.
Amen.
So how are you doing? Amen. How's the Lord doing with you? Okay. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. And then when I go to the lumber store, I find another brother and I say, hey, brother, how are you? And
so,
he said, I'm part of the body. I have fellowship with other believers. I said, brother, that is not what the Word of God has in mind as the definition of having fellowship one with another in Christ. I said, for one thing, you have absolutely no accountability to anyone. You are submitted to nothing or no one. No man can say to you, brother, do you believe that's the right thing to do? Don't you think you ought to reconsider? Nobody can say that to you. And I said, furthermore, you are robbing your wife and your children. They do not get the opportunity to come in where the fellowship is praising God and to enjoy the flow of the Spirit of God. Your children never taste of the goodness of the Lord in the congregation. And brother, if you're not careful, you're going to lose them. One day I had a dream. And I told the man the dream that I had. I said, I'm going to tell you the dream, but I'm not going to tell you who the people were that were in the dream. It was a very powerful dream that I had. In the dream, I was by the road. I was an observer. And there was a coach that went past. Now, I don't know what your word for coach is. It could be a bus, it could be a car, it could be horse. It had people in it. People were inside and it was moving. I saw no horse. It was not a bus. But people were inside. It had windows. And in the window, I saw a woman. In the window was a woman sitting. I could see her face so clearly. Not a woman that I know. But oh, I saw the glory of God on that woman. And I knew that that whole coach was filled with the glory of God. I called it the glory coach dream. And what I saw was a move of God. It was a corporate people moving in God. And there had been an opportunity at some time for any man to join with this move of God. I knew by the Spirit that the coach had stopped at some point, and any man that wanted could get in the coach. And now the coach was moving. I saw three people that I knew. In fact, they were all people. This man was one of the people. And the other people, the other two were people that were part of our fellowship. One was a very old woman. She was walking along the road. And she saw the coach go by. And kind of waved. She was old. She didn't care. Then there was a young woman. She had a husband and she had small children. She was a firm believer in the Word of God. But she had some strange doctrines that she had picked up. And she was always arguing with me, why didn't I preach this and why didn't I preach that? And I saw her, she saw the coach coming. And she knew she wasn't on the coach. So the coach is coming and she stepped out in front of it like this. And And she put her hands up to stop it. And she saw that it wasn't going to stop. Then she tried to direct it. And it wouldn't direct. As far as I know, it ran her down. It just went right over her. I saw that woman about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. She was very hard. She still went to a church, but she had a very hard look on her face. The life was gone from her. And the third one was the man that I was working with. I was actually working for him. He was by the road and he was down like this looking at the flowers with his children. And out of the side of his eye, he saw the coach go by. And he knew he had missed it. He was a strong man. And he got out and he ran with all his strength to try to catch the coach. But he couldn't catch it. He could not overtake it. One day we were up on top of a roof down in downtown Albany. And he stopped for a minute. It was summer, it was hot. He said, "Let's have a little break." And then he said to me, I want to know something. He said, "Who was the man in your dream?" I said, "Brother, you are." See, I decided I would not tell unless he asked. I said, "You are Brother Mike, and you need to really consider what this is saying to you." It did not change one thing. Within about a year, his wife left him. He lost the house where he was living. I heard that he got in trouble with various aspects of the law, not so much he was doing unrighteous things with money. And things really went downhill for him very badly. I do not know what's become of him. What was he doing with money?
Yes.
He was a contractor. And he would collect money up front from people to do building projects for them. And then he would spend the money on something else. And so he could not finish the job until he took on another job and got money up front from them. And some bureau of some business bureau of the state finally caught on and got after him and told him that they were not going to permit him to do any of this kind of work again. Very unrighteous.
Yes.
And he had dealing with a brother in our fellowship that he had agreed to do some work on a house that this brother owned. And didn't do it, and yet insisted that he had done what he was asked to do. Came to the fellowship even one time and met with the elders. And finally the brother just said, "Listen, I'm going to let him go. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I'm just going to let it be. I'll take my loss." And yet the man learned nothing from it. But I'll tell you what we learned. Don't have any dealings with this man. He did work on my house one time too. That's how we got to know him. So I'm just talking about the body of Christ. You see, this is just one example. I have met so many people that say, "Oh, well, we're all part of the body of Christ." But unless you have the life of Christ, that you are attached to the vine and bearing fruit, you are not part of the body of Christ. Now let's go to verse 6. Verse 5. Did we read verse 5? "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." So in verse 2, you find bearing fruit. You find yourself being purged so that you will bring forth more fruit. And now in verse 5, he wants much fruit. Amen. And let's read down 6 and 7. It says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." So there again is a mention of much fruit. Now go down to verse 16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he will give you." So, have fruit. You have more fruit. You have much fruit. And you have fruit that remains. You know, some fruit that you pick, you put it in your house, like some bananas, and 2 days later it's black. It doesn't remain very long. But there is some kind of fruit. Last year I grew some what's called winter squash in my garden. We put it down underneath our house in the basement. And that lasted until about a month ago. Fruit that stays, fruit that remains. So God wants your fruit to remain steadfast no matter what kind of circumstances you have to go through. Some of you have been through difficult financial circumstances. That should not change the nature of Christ in you for the bad. But for the good. Amen. Tribulation worketh patience. Amen. Patience worketh hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Now go over to John. Let's stay in the book of John here a little bit. John, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to look at another aspect of being part of Christ. Every Christian knows John chapter 3. This is probably one of the first things you learned when you became a Christian a long time ago. But we read it, and we really didn't know what we were reading. All we heard was maybe what the evangelist said about it. Ye must be born again. Well, praise the Lord. Well, hello there, my friend. Are you born again, believer?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, man is born again. Hello, brother. It's good to see you. Are you born again, too?
Amen.
Oh, we're all born again. We're all. Well, we're all part of the body of Christ. Well, now, wait a minute. Let's read what it says. Jesus answered, verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, what does being born again give you? It opens your eyes that you can see the kingdom of God. But how do I get into the kingdom of God? I can see Brother Lito's house. My eyes are open. I can see the little children on the floor. Amen. But that doesn't put me into the house. I'm still over here in another house. Amen. Well, before we get on to how to get into the house, let's define what does this born again really mean.
Right, amen.
Born again means what? Yes, it means my heart is changed. It means I am convicted that I have been a rotten sinner. I know that if I continue to be a sinner, I will never see God. Furthermore, I am going to hell. So when I'm born again, I acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner. And then I say, Jesus, you're the only one who can save me and forgive me. And so I accept your blood to cover, wash me of my sin. Make me a new creature. And so by faith, because I have asked pardon and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, because I believe that His blood has the power to do it, therefore I am born again, and I am now delivered from the penalty of going to hell. And if I die, 1 minute later, I am going to have eternal life. I will be in, shall we say, heaven. Forever with Christ. Did that get me into the kingdom? Alright, let's go back to the crucifixion. There was a thief on each side of Jesus. One thief repented and the other thief did not. So Jesus said to the one thief, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say it to the other thief, but today the other thief was going to be in torment of hell. Now the thief that acknowledged Jesus, he became born again. But he did not have any opportunity to participate in life in the body of Christ. He was forgiven. He had no opportunity for maturity. No chance to come to perfection. But he got into paradise. Okay, now let's go to the next verse. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So you see, Nicodemus is only thinking on a carnal level, natural thinking. He cannot see spiritual things yet. He's not born again. He can't even see it. Sometimes we talk to people about spiritual things. And we get very deep in the things we say. And the man or the woman looks at me and says, "I don't know, Brother Mark, I just don't see it." And I begin to wonder, if she's born again. You know, you can be very religious and not born again. Being a member of the Pentecostal church does not make you born again. Being a member of the Methodist church does not make you born again. And there are, in fact, preachers in these churches that are not born again and are not filled with the Spirit. So they're just religious. I think Nicodemus was a religious man. I mean, he was of the Sanhedrin. He was of the best and the highest religious order in Jerusalem. And so you see, most of the council of the leaders of Jerusalem, they were not born again and they were not interested in being born again. But you see, wait, there's another step. When Nicodemus asked, "I'm quite old, how can I go back into my mother and come out again?" Here's what Jesus said. "Verily, verily, I say it to thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, the first step is to see. The second step is to enter. Born again gives me the ability to see. Now I need to make another step in order to enter. I need to be born of the water and the Spirit. So now I need to be given water baptism. And I need now Holy Spirit baptism. So you see, if you're with a church that only believes, well, born again, that's enough. Well, you're part of the body of Christ now, you're with us. That's as far as you need to go. Or if your church says, "Okay, born again and baptized in water." Okay, that's good now. But what about born of the Spirit too? You see, these things that I've spoken of so far are all outer court activities. To be part of the outer court, you are part of the house of God. But you are not yet a partaker of the kingdom of God. I have known a lot of Pentecostal people in the past, born again, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and no more. No more life. A few little gifts, speak in tongues once in a while. But no kingdom understanding. You see, these things now give you the right to come into the holy place. And as Brother Bert probably said to you, you have the opportunity to enter the holy place now. And the Holy Place Church is now candidates for the body of Christ. You see, there's a lot of trouble coming to the holy place people yet. Holy place people are still going to have to make some serious decisions in these last days. Do you really want to go on in? Do you really want to come beyond the veil? Do you want to come where the fire of God burns? See, there has not yet been a church come into that place. But we are being prepared for that. And let me finish by saying, and there is great tribulation yet coming to this earth. And the only way we can endure is to go on in. The secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. Do you want to pay the price?
Yes.
Well, Jesus said, you must remain in me. You must remain, abide in me. Abide in me means you must make your home in me. Your home should be a place of refuge. If you have a home that is so troubled that you never want to go home, it's not a home. But we want a home in Christ. He wants to dwell in us. He wants to make His home in our temple. He wants to make His home in us as a corporate people. Do you want that? God bless you. Thank you very much.